So our text for this morning's meditation is from Proverbs chapter 4. These words, I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. So our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Last Sunday I noted how the very word of God teaches us that the law of God and the law of man are not always the same thing. They're not always the same thing. Law of God, the Ten Commandments. We know that. Law of man. The rules that man comes up with to live within this world. Yes, the law of man is similar to the law of God, but it's not exactly the same thing. And often that law of man is only a shadow of the law of God. Here we can think of how each nation upon the face of the earth has their own laws, their own rules, their own regulations, similar to the Ten Commandments, but not exactly so. Here in the United States, we can think not only of laws that govern our nation, but also those that govern each state and each county and each municipality. Here in Minnesota, we have these things called townships, which I hadn't ever heard of before except for Laura Ingalls Wilder, townships. And then we lived in a township that was unincorporated in Silver Creek before we came here. So we have lots of laws, don't we? We have laws for the nations, laws for the states, laws for the counties, laws for the townships. The problem, as I noted last week, although man's born with a natural knowledge of God, that is a knowledge of the law, that knowledge is not perfect and in fact is flawed and becomes flawed by the sin itself inherent in man. And so all the various rules, the varying rules, the regulations we live by from place to place to place. I mean, have you noticed that? When you cross the state line, speed limit suddenly is different. Roads suddenly are different. Sometimes they're even different size. They're marked a different way just by going from one state to another. Now here, when it comes to laws, rules, regulations, games are interesting, aren't they? Board games, video games, even athletic games, football, baseball, basketball, tennis, golf, all of which have a set of rules. They all have a set of rules that dictate how the players of those games are supposed to play. And the consequences of not following the rules of those games, but also the rewards for following the rules successfully, that is usually in a better way than anybody else. Another point, when it comes to laws and rules and regulations, not unusual is the person who can be very successful at playing some sort of board game or a video game or a sport like tennis or football, but when it comes to the game of life, that is how to succeed within the world itself according to its man-made rules, its laws, they fail miserably. Because it's just so much easier. It's so much easier to conquer multiple universes staring at a screen with a headset on and a controller in hand, cooperating with players, living all over the world for hours and days and weeks on end, than to have a simple conversation with a manager in a store, or a teacher at a school, or a parent, or even a friend. But why is that? Why is it so much easier to excel at a game, whatever that game might be, than to function within society, to follow the rules of a game, but not the rules of the community? The problem, of course, in the community is that the rules aren't very clear. That is within society. And those societal rules, they seem to be getting foggier and foggier and foggier every single day, for it's almost as if every person that we run into the store or the street or at work is functioning according to their own set of rules. And if we don't know what they are, well, then how can we play with them? That is, how can we interact with them? But this isn't anything new. It's not new at all. The case has always been that each individual human being will figure out what works for them as far as the law is concerned, the law as they know it in their heart, sin-tainted, sin-strained, and then try in one way or another to get along with those around them, or even to get those around them to live in the way that they've figured out. You should understand the world the way I understand the world, is what is implied. But if everyone more or less is doing this, what ultimately should we do? Who should we listen to? Is there anyone we should follow, or should we simply strike out on our own and come up with our own laws, our own rules, our own regulations by which we ourselves live, and let's just go with that? Well, as Christians, we know, as Scripture tells us, that we should obey God rather than man, and that's a pretty simple rule to follow. But exactly how that can be done in every given situation of life can be difficult to determine, or so we are led to believe, and so we can abandon the effort. We can abandon the effort to live according to the law of God. And that's our sin problem for this morning. That is, our old Adam would convince us that pursuing a life lived according to the law of God is not only difficult, but extremely hard even to comprehend. So why should we try? Let's just trust our gut. Let's just go with our favorite character, what he does in a video game. We play for hours on end. Or favorite singer, like Taylor Swift. Favorite actor, actress, athlete, newscaster, talk show host, author, influencer, or whatever. Let's just follow them and live by the dictums that they share with us from day to day to day. Our old Adam, so helpful here, isn't he? Sarcasm aside, let's repent. Repent for defaulting. Defaulting to the rules of man in whatever form we found them, and then follow them, and in repentance, look once again to the rules of God, the law of God, about which we read in the very first psalm, Psalm number 1. This is how it goes. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, that's the rules of the world, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knows the ways of the righteous, but the ways of the wicked will perish. That's Psalm 1. It's how the book of Psalms begins. The first of the 150 Psalms we find there, the Reader's Digest version. It's good to follow the law of the Lord. It's good. It's wonderful. It's great. We'll prosper by doing so. The fact that it's not easy to follow the law of God from day to day to day, it's obvious, even if it's obvious just by the fact that we have the book of Proverbs, an entire book in the Bible, written for us so that we can understand the situations of life in which we find ourselves and the decisions that we make one way or another. Now, it's easy for us to think that we should avoid reading this book, that we should avoid reading Proverbs, thinking that somehow if we read Proverbs and we understand Proverbs, we'll become like some sort of Confucian wise man, withdrawing from life, wandering here and there, giving sage advice of one form or another, but not engaging in any bit of life as we know it. But there, we need to think only of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who in his appearance didn't look like some sort of Confucian wise man, but he looked just like everyone else around him. In fact, the very attempt was made to make Jesus look like less than everyone else around him. both by the Sanhedrin and by Pontius Pilate, by beating Jesus into an inch of his life and then declaring, "See, there's nothing special about this guy. He bleeds just like the rest of us, and he's going to die just like the rest of us." But of course, that suffering, that death of Jesus was undertaken not because it was the end of foolishness on Jesus' part. Because Jesus lived according to the Proverbs. Because Jesus lived according to the Psalms, even according to the law of God to its perfection. That's not why Jesus was suffering. No, that suffering and death of Christ was undertaken for you and for me. For all of us who have abandoned even the attempt to live in love and live by the very word of God, the law of God, and walk in it day by day by day in whatever situation we find ourselves, that is, as a student, young single, husband, wife, boss, worker, etc. Christ underwent his suffering and death for our lack of willingness even to pursue the life of the law. And then he rose again from the dead, demonstrating that he indeed had lived a life according to the Psalms and the Proverbs and even the law. And so his death was taken by our Father in heaven as payment for our sin. As payment for our sin. And what is more, what does Jesus now do but send his Holy Spirit to us so that we can be convinced that we are forgiven for the sins that we've committed, and we can live as he himself did, and that is by the Spirit, from moment to moment to moment, pursuing a life in which we not only pursue the law of God, but wish to pursue that law, wish to pursue that law as the best way we can possibly live. I mean, how insulting must it be? How insulting must it be for our loving Heavenly Father who wants us to live? And he wants us to love forever, for us to not even be interested in the way of love, the way of life, and instead determine to live our lives by some sort of random set of sayings we have learned here and there. So often we must appear to our loving Heavenly Father to be just like Bill and Ted in that movie, having traveled back in time to kidnap Socrates, or as they call him, Socrates, for a high school project, impressing Socrates by quoting none other than the 70s rock group Kansas, "All we are is dust in the wind." Closer to home, we comfort ourselves with sayings like, "Take what you get, don't have a fit," or "Fake it till you make it," or "Half of life is showing up." Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, is more circumspect. If we don't walk by the Spirit, by the love of the law, as lived by our Savior Jesus, we will not keep our flesh, our sinful nature, our old Adam in check. And if we don't keep our old Adam in check, then we will live a life of foolishness, of suffering, of despair. One way of thinking about this simply is to realize that if we don't keep our old Adam in check, someone else will be forced to do so. And that someone else ultimately will be the state, which will place our uncontrolled Adam into a box, that is, into a jail cell, so it cannot harm anyone else around it. So the lesson our son learned as a kindergarten student in Germany, when the kindergarten class toured the local police station there, and they had the kindergarten students take turns standing in the jail cell. Lesson was clear. They didn't do their homework. They didn't control themselves. Somebody else would need to do so. So how else do we do that? How do we control ourselves? We confront our old Adam with all of his ideas, with the law of God, the law of the Spirit. Let's be clear here. When we do that, it's not as if all will be well. It will be a struggle. And so our need for our study of the book of Proverbs which acknowledges that struggle, pointing out why the works of the flesh are so appealing, but also then why they should be avoided, as the end result of such works is nothing but suffering and death. In closing, one last point, and that is we should note and remember the amount of time we spend learning all sorts of sets of rules in this life to get ahead in some way. Sure, I noted a few moments ago all the board games, the video games, the athletic games, all taking hours and hours, hundreds of hours, thousands of hours, learning to play successfully. How much time did it take us to learn the rules of the road so that we could learn to drive correctly and receive a license to drive, a license that declares for all intents and purposes, this person knows the rules? We spend so much time throughout our lives learning all sorts of rules, hoping to benefit by our knowledge of them and then our ability to follow them. So how about then the amount of time we take contemplating the rules of God, His law, His love, as demonstrated for us by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Yes, we benefit daily from moment to moment from the forgiveness that flows to us through faith in Him. But what about the benefits of living life as ultimately we should? That is the way of wisdom. What about that? The way of wisdom, the way of righteousness that we are taught ultimately in the book of Proverbs. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the offertory.